You're listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com.
It's the new kid on the block. It's the new talk show from ESPN 97.7. It's Talkin' Sports, brought to you by Anytime Fitness, Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness in Ruston and Texarkana. Now, here's your host for Talkin' Sports, Byron Avery.
Thunder Baby, bringing it to you every week, live from the Coldwell Banker Group 1 Studios in West Monroe. It's Talkin' Sports. It's just you and me, and I'm B, Byron Avery. DJ Davis out for the day, but I am joined in studio by our special co-host, Josh Tolleson of the 318 Now podcast.
Well, I'm super excited to be in studio today. I know that I've had a great time calling in the past several weeks, but it's awesome to be in studio, and I'm looking forward for the fun ride for the next couple hours.
Thank you, Tim Tebow, with the super excited.
Well played, well played.
But it's great to have you. We've got a jam-packed show today, busy first hour. Great to have Sean Fox, Mr. Fox to many of us. Out at Academy Sports promoting Louisiana Tech Athletics. We'll be going out there multiple times during the first hour. As always, a special thank you to the man that makes it happen, John Tabor, back at the ESPN HQ.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How's it going, John? Staying busy as always.
Yes.
Busiest man in radio. Hey, I want to throw out there real quick. I was listening to the shows this morning, and we've got several local shows that do a great job. You know, we've got Aaron Dietrich and Nick White on the Morning Drive Monday through Friday, 7 to 9. We've got Terry Waldrop, T-Dubs with The Edge, 9 to 10 Monday through Friday. We've got Santoria doing his show. We've got the Nick Brown Show. I love listening about college football. Nick is the college football man. But I'm going to tell you, if you listen to the Rick Diamond Show, that's a man that's going to be going some places. He's young. He loves what he does. He's jumped in with both feet, goes to events, went to wrestling school. And Tabor, I think that you and him will be listening to on a national level one day, because I'm sure he'll take you with him.
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
But all right, well. Rick's really been working hard and getting better and better at his craft, you know, making contacts, and he's got a good thing going. I'm proud of him.
Oh, I'm very proud of him. When Sean first told me about him, I thought it was really cool, and then listening to him. And today, the thing that struck me the most, he was talking about something on his Facebook page, reached 20,000 viewers. 20,000. You go, man. So Rick Diamond on his way up. So very proud of him. We're going to jump right now. Like I said, we have a busy program. We've got the legend, Buddy Davis, longtime sports editor for the Ruston Daily Leader, coming on today. We've got Becca Wales, West Monroe High School product, LSU athlete, headed to the Olympic trials tomorrow. She is an All-American in the javelin. We're going to have her. We'll have Sean Williams on to talk about his Legends of the Fall, his New Orleans Saints series. And then we'll have Josh and I will talk a little Major League Baseball. But we're going to jump to the Car King hotline right now and welcome in Zach Green. Zach, welcome to the program again.
Hey, guys. Happy 4th of July weekend.
Happy 4th of July weekend to you too, buddy. The temperature's back up, so to go along with the heat on the roads, tell us what's hot on the lot.
What's hot on the lot this weekend, I have a 2011 King Ranch Ford Expedition. This thing is a one-owner, super clean. You can drive away with it today for $24,000. Or I also have a 2012 LT Tahoe, third row seat, leather, 70,000 miles, one owner, and that vehicle will run you about $385 a month. And then I also have a 2015 four-leather Camry LE, 6,000 miles, and you can drive that thing away for around $275 a month.
Wow. Wow, and those aren't the only things hot on your lot. So tell us how we can find you today, find you online, give you a call, any way we can get in touch with you to get out there and see those cars.
Absolutely. You can always find us at
12 to Louisville Avenue in Monroe, Louisiana. You can give us a holler at 318-330-9285 or check us out on our website, carkingmonroe.com.
All right, Zach, enjoy the rest of the weekend. Have a happy 4th.
You guys, enjoy it too. Thank y'all.
All right. That was Zach Green on the Car King Hotline. Zach Green, of course, of Car King. Hit us up on the Car King Hotline, Pulpit Producers Text Line, 888-993-7762. Our Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at tsports977fm. You can email us at our Riverport Creative Group email inbox, tsports977fm@gmail.com. Check out our Facebook page. Search for Talkin' Sports 977FM. See our Assurance Financial Facebook page. Josh, before we start on anything else, I just want to tell everybody, you know, I don't want to go into detail or anything, but I received a huge blessing this week, and that's two in a year. I mean, much more than two in a year, but two huge ones in a year. One of them is the reason I'm still sitting here, so can't go without thanking the big man enough, but just a lot of things have been happening, and a lot of good things on the way right now, and a lot of people out there were involved with it, so thank you to everyone for your support. And we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Buddy Davis from the Ruston Daily Leader on the line. You're listening to Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. It's just you and me, and I'm B, joined today by Josh Tollison from the 318 Now podcast. Lot going on. Lots happened in sports this week. We lost two legends in Buddy Ryan and Pat Summitt. Our next guest had a lot of dealings with Pat over the years. One of my mentors, I've known this guy for 25-plus years, had a huge impact on me early in my career. I want to welcome Buddy Davis to the program. Buddy, how's it going?
Hey, good. Byron, doing good, man. Good to hear from
you. Absolutely. The last time I saw you, you were sitting out in the sun, basking in the sun at the Princeton Mansion.
Oh, yeah. I got out of the Jack Lambert suite here. I'm in room 58. So
go.
I named it after Jack Lambert's jersey number.
I remember the first time we met at the Leader in the Cave, as it was called. I could not believe the amount of memorabilia slammed into that one small space.
Yep, you're right. And it's grown since then.
And it was unreal. I mean, pictures of you and Sugar Ray Leonard, you and Ali, you and a lot of the Texas Rangers, Nolan, you and Eddie Robb, and I mean, it was just unreal.
Oh, yeah. And I've got a bunch of new ones, Byron, and I sure have. I've added on some in my room here, a lot of them, in fact.
Absolutely. Now, one person that you did have a lot of contact with, were able to do a lot of interviews with over the years, was Pat Summitt, who we lost too early at the age of 64.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about what you remember of Pat and what made her so special.
Well, I tell you, I'll speak from just right now from a media standpoint. She was so gracious and accommodating. I could call. She would give me her cell number. Buddy, you want to call me at home? Call me at home at all hours. And she would always be so accommodating with interviews and offer a lot of insight into coaching. And, of course, in a funny way, she would always say, well, tell old Leon hello for me. Does he still have his famous stare, you know? Between the two, I don't know, boy, you're talking about some staring coaches there that could intimidate a player if they wanted to. But she was so good to work with. I just thought the world of her. here's the thing, too, about her. The biggest statistic of all with her, I thought, more than the wins and championships, every player she had graduated.
Absolutely.
And got their degree. So that speaks well of Pat Summitt.
Yeah, I'm telling you, buddy, it was always strange just going to a game as a fan or when I was working the game from whatever aspect I was working. Tennessee was one of the most hated rivals of Louisiana Tech because from the early days on, it was Tech and Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, Pat Summitt was never a hated coach.
No, exactly. And I'm writing my blog. It's ironic you mentioned that, Byron. My Monday blog is about how I called her one of Tech's own.
Yep.
Because of all the connections and how Tech fans really, really admired and respected her. They wanted to beat her, but when it was all over, they really respected her. So I called her one of Tech's own, you know, with all the connections with Leon, Sandra, Kim, Janice, Ball, you can go down the line, Mickey DeMoss.
And old Pam Stackhouse, too.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Well, and it was just, but I was thinking about that. All the teams, you know, like I can't even remember the UNO coach's name now, Joey something, Joey Favolori.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, UNO was a hated team, and Fav was a hated coach. But it never reached that with Pat. Like you said, it was always a mutual respect and all that. So her loss. And it's been talked about nationally and locally. Yes, she graduated all of her players, and that's great. One of the things that was talked about was just her impact, not only on women's basketball, but on women's sports altogether. She along with, and she more so because she had the bigger platform. Her and Leah, but Pat had a bigger platform. She did make a difference in women's athletics.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I don't think, I don't think it's a stretch. See if you agree with me on this. And I mentioned this in my blog. I think she may be the greatest coach in college athletics history.
It's a possibility. It's not too big a stretch because of the far-reaching impact she had.
Right, exactly. It's unbelievable. And there have been a lot of great coaches. But think about her 38 years of service and what she meant to players, to the game, to women's sports. It may not be a stretch.
Yep, I agree. I wouldn't have a problem. I wouldn't have any arguments with that at all. Losing Pat is a loss to a lot of people. It impacts a lot of people. But I don't think that she's going to be forgotten anytime soon.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't know if you went surf the internet to post her passing, but I was blown away at the number of tributes, stories, videos. It was unbelievable. I counted no less than 30 major stories done on Pat Summitt, and you wouldn't believe the number of prominent people who had tweets and quotes about and remembrances about Pat Summitt. Just amazing.
Well, I'm going to tell you one that shocked me because you know when somebody like that dies, you expect to hear from. You know, a lot of top people. Geno's always said good things about
him.
Know, and a lot of people have. But one person who called her friend that really surprised me was Steve Spurrier.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sure did, yeah.
And that came as a shock to me. That's not somebody you would really put with Pat Summitt, but because of his SEC days, I'm sure he's been around her a lot. And, I mean, he considered her a friend. And for somebody like Spurrier to say that, she had to be a close friend.
Right. And I'm like you. I didn't realize that. No.
Tell me a couple of memories with Pat over the years, because you've been with the Ruston Leader how long now? 75 years?
Okay, I heard about that long. 50 years.
Going up on 50, yeah.
Yeah, and been right since I was 14. But no, my first memory, to get this now, and I was very fortunate to be there, I covered the 76 Montreal Olympics. She is Pat Head. She played on the 76 Olympic team.
Right.
That's when I first saw her and remember how good of a player she was. And little would I know later on I'd be able to cover her career. But then, moved the video up to her coaching career, and gosh, I probably saw no telling how many times covering games she was involved in, or, would see her somewhere else. Was in Springfield and Massachusetts when Leon got inducted, and of course she introduced Leon, and we talked then and interviewed her. So it's been a long relationship, really, that I've really enjoyed. And invariably, here's another, I don't know, you remember Jeannie McCartney at the Leader? Her Larry McCartney is a relative of Pat. So she would invariably ask, "Buddy, how's my kinfolks in Ruston?" But that's the kind of lady she was. She was just so gracious all the time, and talking about people she knew and loved in this area.
Yeah. My favorite memory of a Tech-Tennessee battle was the game in about 97. It was the preseason women's NIT at Tech. Tech ended up hosting the finals. And it was Notre Dame, Tennessee, Tech, and I think North Carolina State. And so you had Kay Yao in here. Had Kay Yao, you had Muffet McGraw, and you had Pat Summitt and Leon Barmore. Now that's a coaching summit right there.
Amen. Realize, if I'm not in fact, when she coached the 84 gold medal Olympic team with Janice Lawrence and Kim Mulkey, ironically, if my memory's right, she, of course, she was the head coach. Kay Yao was the assistant.
Yeah, absolutely. That game, though, that Tech won by 18 points in the championship game of the preseason women's NIT, Tech won by 18. Leon collapsed during the game. Face turned red. He collapsed. Had it working on him behind the bench and everything.
That's right, yeah.
And there was a Shreveport Times reporter, a girl who played at Northwestern in Chicago. She was a sports writer for the Shreveport Times then. Asked him if he thought it was going to be that easy, and his response made SportsCenter that night.
Yeah, I sure do.
I think he got as red faced right then at that comment as he did on the floor.
Right, exactly.
Well, there's a lot of accolades that have come in for Pat. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to share yours. But let's talk about some of the other things you've covered at Tech over the years. I mean, you were there. Major Fox got you started, and most people aren't going to remember him, and I don't, other than listening to you talk about him. But you've been able to cover, Pat Summitt, Terry Bradshaw, Burt Jones at Ruston High, Fred Dean, Pat Tilley, Roger Carr, Willie Rove, Tim Rattay. I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah, it's Doug Williams. Well, look at Grandma, Doug Williams,
Shaq.
Bobby Cannon, Ernie Ladd, Willie Davis. I've been pretty dang lucky, Byron. Very fortunate.
All the Rustin High guys who have gone on, Brooks, I can't remember his first name, Brooks.
Michael Brooks.
So, I mean, there's just been a ton, and you have done for a lifetime what a lot of guys and gals would like to do. The reason I got into journalism in the first place was so I could get into ball games free the rest of my life, but you hated your life.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I always wanted to do, Byron. And my parents are the credit for whatever success life I've been able to lead, because they always supported me. Hey, but son, is this what you want to do? Go for it. And I loved it from the start and still love it. And have been really able to cover just incredible number of good people and famous athletes and teams. Still like a little kid doing it too.
And I'm going to tell you what says a lot, buddy, is not just the fact that you can still talk about them, but they can talk about you. They still come by to see you when they're in town, when they're in the area. They've given you phone calls. I know you had a major setback in the last, was it 2 years ago or was it 3 years ago now?
3 years ago now.
It'd be 3 years in July. And,
right, exactly.
But as always, you can't keep a good man down, and so you're still out there covering things, still writing your column. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
OK's Corral. And now you've added a blog, so good on you, buddy. I mean, I can't be more proud. I'm so proud of Rick Holt. He never gave up, and you're his guy. You're his family. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of credit goes to that staff over there for making sure you're taken care of.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I can't praise Rick enough. He has been unbelievable. He comes by every day, and I'll give a free commercial here for Starbucks. I'm loaded up on Starbucks. I'll have one in about I usually drink one about 2 o'clock. I have a Pike Starbucks. If anybody's listening, bring me a Pike with 3 sweet and lows and cream. So anyway.
Well, between the Starbucks and sitting out in the sunshine, and covering sports, buddy, I don't know how it can get any better than that. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, I got my TV on now watching the Wimbledon, and I watched Canadian Football League last night and had memories of Matt Dunnigan and a lot of other Tom Hinton and a lot of other tech greats who played north of the border. So I've got it made pretty good here.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate your support, Byron. You have been fantastic through the years, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to talk about one of my all-time favorite people to cover, Pat Summitt. Rest in peace, my dear lady. You've been a great one, and I appreciate you, Byron.
All right, buddy. You go.
Byron, you've been fantastic.
All right, man. We love you, and we're always here. And you take care of yourself, and we'll get you back on the program at some point. For Buddy Davis, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program. Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. It's just you and me today, and I'm B, Byron Avery, your host, while DJ Davis is out at, I believe he's at the Essence Festival.
Yes, the Essence Festival. Great for him. I know he's doing a lot of great things, and you know, you follow DJ on social media, you see the wonderful work. He's probably the hardest working man in our area. Would you say so?
I would believe that he's definitely one of them. Of all the people I know, he's definitely one.
Yeah, and he's doing great work in our community. You know, we just run the play. You know, major shout out to Coach. And, you know, I can't fill his shoes here. I can't fill this seat, but I'm going to give him my best. And, you know, Coach has done a great job. And, you know, just major kudos to him. You know, he if anyone deserves praise, it's Coach.
Well, I'm going to tell you, he asked me if I'd ever been to the Essence Festival. And I'm going to bet that you can guess the answer.
Me and you both, huh?
That's right. Well, but kudos to him. He's at the Essence Festival. He's going to be out another Saturday this week when he goes down to Baton Rouge for the Heads Up Coaching Clinic. We had the founder of the Gridiron Heroes last week. Not Gridiron Heroes as you would think, as in former players, but Gridiron Heroes, a foundation that supports spine injuries in youth players. It's unfortunate that we need a foundation like that, but good job on them for the work that they do. Josh, it was a busy week in sports. NBA free agency hit. And I don't know if free agency is the term anymore. I mean, it's what it is, but feeding frenzy maybe with people that, you know, getting millions and millions of dollars and I've never heard their name.
You know what makes me want to do? It makes me want to go grab a basketball, learn to dribble a little bit better, maybe go lose some weight, and maybe, you know, maybe try to pursue.
What are you, 6'4"?
I'm 6'4". You know, I'm a few biscuits shy, you know, of where I should be weight-wise. But you know what? It makes me think, you know, if I had gone this path, you know, 15, 20 years ago, maybe I'd be getting $23 million contract.
I mean, it's almost like pitchers in baseball a few years ago. Especially if you're a left-hander, you'll never make less than $2 or $3 million a year, no matter how bad you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it, like we said, you know, it just, if you look at the, going back to NBA free agency, you see all the contracts are being signed. It's just, you know, it shows the prosperity of the league just because all this money's being dealt out. But it makes you wonder, you know, if, you know, these mid-level talents are getting this money, what's Kevin Durant going to get? You know, I know it just makes you, it makes you shudder in a way. It's, you know, it's great for the players, you know, and it's great for the league, but it kind of, it makes you want to scratch your head too.
Well, speaking of basketball, I had Lonnie Cooper on a month or so ago on our What's Up segment, and, you know, he didn't get a shot in the NBA because he was several biscuits shy of where he needed to be. And, you know, of course, that was during the era when you went in the middle, you expected to take some lumps. It's not like that today, and the kid, I swear I hate not knowing what I'm talking about, but when I can't remember names, the kid that was drafted this year, he's 5'10", 149 pounds. I mean, Lonnie was 6'4", about 190. And so Lonnie could play today. He could have played then, but he could get drafted today. And he could have been, you know, making some of those bucks. But unfortunately for Lonnie, he's no longer coaching either. Changeover at ULM, Lonnie Cooper is not there. A son was hired, though, so that's good. And for whatever that's worth, but Lonnie, I think, got his hat in the ring for the Grambling job. I think he'd be great for that. Any support he can get for that would be wonderful. But Lonnie Cooper is a guy that needs to stick around our area. He has a lot to offer in the basketball world. He's been through a lot, played overseas, played with the Globetrotters for a little while. So anyway, shout out to Lonnie. Hate it for you, bud, but keep your chin up. We're all rooting for you. Major League Baseball, they've got a little event coming up in July.
Yeah, you know, all the, you know, this, you know, this time it matters, right? That's the slogan they use for an MLB All-Star game, which is coming up the week after next. And it's, you know, the All-Star voting has is either about to conclude or it has concluded. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, if you go through all the projections, you know, it looks like it's going to be the Red Sox against the Cubs for the All-Star game, just based off all the voting, you know, because, you know, of course, you know, both ball clubs, you know, have huge followings, you know, nationwide. And, you know, as you know, I'm sure you can relate with this, Byron, but, you know, as a kid growing up, the All-Star game was like such a huge event.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know, you know, when you're growing up, I'm sure all the legends are at the time, the All-Stars then, now they're, are all Hall of Famers. It's a treat just to see all the...
All of them but Pete Rose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Although he just got inducted recently, correct, to the, was it the Reds Hall of Fame?
Yeah, the Reds Hall of Fame. They retired his number and all of that. And he was allowed to be there in a private, not a private, but a ceremony before the game.
Yeah, and, you know, but the fact of the matter is he was recognized in some form. So kudos to Pete. But, yeah, just as the kid, and I think the kid and all of us baseball fans, we love the All-Star game. You know, although it seems kind of ever since interleague play, it's kind of lost its flavor a little bit. But still, it's, as you know, the kid and you roots for it. You can't wait for it. You know, the home run derby and all the other, you know, fanfare that goes with it. It's really an exciting time for baseball fans.
And when is the All-Star game this year?
I believe it's on the 12th. It's on a Tuesday, because typically the home run derbies are Monday nights, and then the following evening is the All-Star game. So it's in San Diego this year. So, and when you think of San Diego's ballpark, you know, you would normally think, you know, pitcher's ballpark, but the past couple of years, it's really opened up to become a slugger's ballpark. So you never know. You may see Madison Bumgarner launch one into deep left center.
I would love to see pitchers in this. I'm going to have to look this up before I talk about it. So, you know, again, if I could start a campaign that would mean anything, which I can't, I would start a campaign for Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, because he may be a despicable human being, but there are a lot of those in the Hall of Fame, in all the Halls of Fame. But on the baseball field, there was no equal.
Absolutely, and Pete's thing is he got caught.
Right.
You know, he got caught.
Well, he got caught and he lied about it, continued lying about it for 15 years. You know, the Ichiro thing, you know, them saying he tied Pete Rose for professional hits. You know, Pete acknowledged him and said, hey, the guy's a Hall of Famer. You know, he's a great baseball player, but, you know. So are they going to count Rose's minor league hits? You know, because those are professional.
Right.
You know, are they going to count anything he did? You know, it's just ridiculous. Ichiro knows that. Ichiro knows he hasn't caught Pete Rose. Only the commissioner could catch Pete Rose.
Yeah, not to take anything away from Ichiro. You know, he's had a great 15-year-plus career in Major League Baseball. And, of course, what he did overseas is wonderful, too. But, you know, in the big picture, I mean, it's like apples, oranges. I mean, you can't compare the two.
Right. I mean, and it is his team's way of recognizing Ichiro and getting some PR and all of that kind of stuff. I understand that, you know, but let's just make sure we don't let's make sure we don't confuse professional hits with major league hits. I could talk about Pete Rose all day. Probably have to have a segment. We're going to grab another break right now, go back out to Sean Fox at Academy. Just a reminder, July the 9th, in honor of the body issue, ESPN, the magazine. Now, we'll be doing the show nude. So just want to remind everybody about that. But right now, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Talking Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. They got in a little trouble, Josh.
They sure did.
They did, but we're not.
Not yet.
This is B. You're listening to Talking Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM, joined by Josh Tolleson, the founder, producer, and janitor for 318 Now podcast. Want to also mention our friends at Two Dudes Catering, Kevo and Chris. They are out at the River Market from 1 p.m. today until. Go by, get you some outstanding barbecue.
And they are a future guest of the 318 Now podcast as well.
Well, there you go. That's all even more reason. But right now we're going to get a preview of an event coming up in the area. Want to welcome former Ruston High superstar and Big 12 official. you couldn't keep a straight face either. Don, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brian. Well, what an introduction.
Wow. Well, look.
I don't know about the first one. The second one, maybe.
Well, I was going to say former Ruston High superstar, Big 12 official, and a man who couldn't make it without his wife Paula. One of those
exactly.
is true. You pick it out.
you're exactly right.
Well, what's going on?
What we got coming up, the West Monroe boys soccer team is going to be sponsoring and putting together a men's softball, slow pitch softball tournament on July 23rd. And it's just to, it's a fundraiser for the team. The cost is going to be $200. And again, it's going to be held on Saturday, July 23rd at Brady Fields on Lights Ferry Road. Again, the entry fee is $200. We got other things going on with it. The winning team's going to win. We'll receive $500 cash. You're guaranteed three games. We're going to have a home run derby. The entry fee is $10, and we're basically going to handle that like a split the pot. So however many people enter, the winner's going to win half the pot. Then we're going to have – this is something new I didn't know about, but they have home run bands. So what that means is, you know, a team may get two home runs a game, but if you have one of these bands on and the guy hits a home run, he can take that as a home run and not an out or whatever happens. So we'll have concession stands. So we're taking 12 teams. We're hoping it's going to fill up quick, but to have a one-day tournament, we felt like we could only take 12 teams with a three-game guarantee.
Right. And how
so that's the basic. To get in touch with the head coach of the team, his name's Whit Whitlock. His phone number is 318-381-0745. And if you want to see the flyer that we're putting out, you can go to the West Monroe High School Rebel Soccer page. If you'll just put that in and put that in Facebook, just search for West Monroe Rebel Soccer, and it should lead you right to it. So that's the basics. As you know, and the reason we're doing this, it's odd that it may seem odd that a soccer team's putting together a softball tournament, but it's just a way, we felt like it's a good way to, you know, put together to raise some money for the team. Even though, you know, a school like West Monroe, you basically all the sports have to raise their own funds. There may be a little bit they get from the school, but any of these sports have to raise funds, and so that's what we're putting it together for.
Okay. And we need to talk off air about a way to use the show as a fundraiser also. We've got some things going on with that. Donnie, I know that you are, like I said, you know, you are a former Ruston High athlete. Sorry about that. Almost slipped out. Spent a lot of time in Ruston, graduated from Tech. You saw Pat Summitt quite a few times. What were your impressions of her?
You know, anytime you ever saw her, you know, I think the one thing you always saw and I was impressed with was just her intensity that she showed on the court. You know, it's been really, really fun and really interesting to hear some of the off the air stories that, you know, just made her who she was, I think. You know, obviously we know how great a coach she was. And, but, you know, all these stories I've been hearing, and I don't know if you heard the story. I think it was Mike and Mike was actually, I had the radio on, and they were telling a story about how she was at Louisiana Tech, played Louisiana Tech, and after the game was over, she met a girl in the breezeway there after the game, and she was in a wheelchair, and she told her not to let that define who she was, and however many years later, she was sitting on the airplane, and this same girl that was in the wheelchair was actually the flight attendant on the flight. And was just bawling, and she told Pat Summitt that was the little girl, that was her so many years ago, and she was just remembering that, you know, how many years ago was that, that many years later. So I think that just defines who Pat Summitt was you know, how great a coach she was and what she meant off the court as well.
Yeah, that just gave me chills.
I know.
Oh, wow.
And I don't get to always listen to 97.7 in Mike and Mike and all those national shows during the day, but you know, my ears popped up as soon as I heard Louisiana Tech, and I was like, wow, you know, and very likely I might have even been at that game at that time.
Right. Well, Donnie, good luck with you on the tournament. Good luck in the Big 12 this year. I know that Paula is always ready to put together your bowl highlights like the one she put out last year.
Yeah, when they got knocked down.
Right, right. You know, that's always a fun, you know. I have many better highlights, but I guess those are the fun ones.
Yeah. All right, well, Donnie, thanks for coming on, and we'll have you back on to talk about the tournament more.
Yeah, appreciate it, Brian.
All right, have a good weekend. Happy 4th.
Thanks.
All right, so, Josh, that's a good event coming up, raising money for our local high school soccer team. Going to have a big softball tournament. I like that because, you know, they've got the home run limit. You know, after two home runs, you have somebody hit a home run, that's an out. But if you buy that band, where if you hit a home run while you're wearing that band, while you're wearing that band, it's a hit, and it's a home run and not an out. So that's kind of like buying mulligans at a golf tournament or something like that. So we've got somebody coming up at 1:15 for our What's Up segment. Typically, our What's Up segment is dedicated to those who played a little further back, have gone on, finished their college, finished whatever their activities and athletics were, and now we're doing something else. We're going to take advantage of someone who's still in college, and we want to catch her now because tomorrow she's heading for the Olympic trials in track and field.
Wow.
So we, hometown girl Becca Wales, will have her at 1:15 for our What's Up segment. But we got a little talking to do before then. We're going to go ahead and grab a break. I want to thank our broadcast partners, Riverport Creative Group, Jeremy Hilton, Shield of Shelter Insurance, Gino Eubanks, Allstate, Greg Phillips, State Farm, Car King, Pulpwood Producers, Glassworks of West Monroe, DBAT, for all your softball and training needs, dbatmonroe.com. You're listening to Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM.
In the crowd, and you start to sing, the king of the road, the king of the road, Car King.
Hey, all, this is Jim Newcomb, your host for the Spirit of the Outdoor Radio Show. We've got a really neat fishing show for you this week. We've got Mr. Kurt Dove from down in Texas. We've also got Mr. Jim Kinsey on the show. He's got something started he calls Open the Cage Project. We've also got Mr. Todd Bearclaw, one of the Bassmasters Elite best fishermen. That's this week on the Spirit of the Outdoor Radio Show.
Sundays at 6 a.m. on ESPN 97.7.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, ESPN 97.7.
All right. Yeah. Welcome back to the program. Talking sports here on ESPN 97.7 FM. It's just you and me. And I'm B. Byron Avery, your host here on Talking Sports. DJ Davis out at the Essence Festival this weekend. Hope he's getting his essence on.
I know we are.
Yes. Well, be careful. I am joined in the studio by Josh Tollison, the be-all, do-all for the 318 Now podcast. Joining me here in the studio, we love to talk about baseball. I've said it before, I'm not really a big baseball guy until the NBA finals are over. Not that I'm a huge NBA fan, it's just the timing and the habits and all of that. I love baseball. Love watching baseball. Never played it other than recreationally because I had a rag arm and couldn't hit. I could run and catch. I could catch anything that came off a bat or an arm. But I couldn't hit. And I couldn't throw very well, so it doesn't make. That's not a good combination. Two tool players don't make it very often, but there are players who are tools that do make it. Speaking of which, I caught the middle of an interview the other day, and I thought it was Pete Rose talking to the guys Russillo and Cannell. Turned out it was Nails, Lenny Dykstra. And he sounded just like Pete Rose, meaning you couldn't really understand a lot he was saying. He's lost all his teeth. He was beaten in prison by a bunch of, according to him, a bunch of sheriff's deputies who are now also in prison. And the sheriff himself has been arrested. But Dykstra, he's written a book, and so he's making the rounds. And one of the things he said, Josh, was I don't know, it's probably in reality kind of sad, but I thought it was kind of funny, which may tell you a lot about me. He said, and he said he would find out about players and umpires. Find out. Okay? So, he's at the plate. Umpire calls a strike. He may look back at him and say, what was the line on last night's game? And they were asking him, what does that have to do with anything? What do you mean? Did you know he was cheating? He said, well, let's just put it this way. People have certain interests. Some guys like women. Some guys like guys. Some guys like betting. Some guys like drinking. Some guys like other things. And he goes, I'm not trying to say that I use what they did against them. And Russillo said, well, yeah, you kind of are. And he was. But he would find out. I mean, I don't know if he paid. I think he paid somebody to follow him. And he would find out things about people. And then he would use it against them. You know, Lenny Dykstra was a heck of a ball player. He was a Pete Rose type. And when I say type, I mean he played hard. Charlie Hustle is always going to be Charlie Hustle. There won't be another one. But Lenny Dykstra was that type of player, just mean, dirty.
Tough as nails.
And yep, it's where he got his nickname. Mm-hmm. And when I say dirty, I don't mean dirty as in illegal or unfair. I mean get dirty. Didn't mind sliding in head first. He got on PEDs to bounce back from injuries. He could play. He could hit. He could run. He could catch. He just needed less recovery time, more recovery in less time from injuries. And that's how he got started on. And then he got into other types of drugs. And he says that roughly 80% of baseball was doing PEDs when he was there. And I don't disbelieve that. You know, I don't know. It would not shock me to see that it was 80% or more during that time. Like he said, I can take steroids and make $30 million a year, or I can not take steroids, get a real job, and make $60,000 a year. A lot of people are going to say, well, give me that 30 mil.
Right.
You know, fortunately or unfortunately, I never had to, you know, be confronted with that choice. But anyway, another guy, Barry Bonds, our favorite human being. Said pretty much no one ever. Disliked Barry Bonds. Don't know why. I guess it was just his attitude.
He wasn't exactly a media darling.
No, he wasn't. And you don't have to be, but he was just a jerk. Okay? Never caught using PEDs. I'd bet every dime I've ever made and ever will make on the fact that he was. And look at him now. He's the batting coach for the Miami Marlins, and he looks like his rookie picture. He's got a small head, you know, which he had about three heads when he finished playing baseball. It was so big. There's no doubt. But here's the thing with Bonds. His was true greed. He was already a great hitter. PEDs cannot make you see a baseball better, cannot make you make contact with a baseball player. Baseball better. Ball may go a little bit further, okay, a little farther. But I don't think that without PEDs, he wouldn't have been an all-star. He wouldn't have been a Hall of Famer. He wouldn't have hit tons of home runs. I don't know that he would have hit 70-plus. But who knows? But his, from all we can tell, was true greed.
Yeah, and, you know, even because we don't know when he started. So, I mean, because you look at the 90s, you know, the mid to early 90s, you know, he was a great ball player before. And it makes you wonder, because he was making, you know, when he signed his contract with the Giants at the time, that was a record-breaking contract. So it makes you wonder, you know, and I think the competitive drive was a lot of that, because he saw the attention Sosa was getting, McGuire was getting. They were the darlings of the nation during the summer of 98. And I think that probably he resented that to an extent, in my opinion, which could have ultimately led to him going all in and becoming an incredible Hulk.
Yeah. Hulk, yes, incredible, I'm not sure. But it just goes to show you what the dollars in athletics breed. I have a good friend who says that most of these professional athletes, if it wasn't for their sport, they'd be walking the yard. Okay? And you can believe that with some of these guys. What does it make them do? O.J. Mayo, disqualified from the NBA, can't even ask to be reinstated for 2 years, missing out on all this money this summer. And next summer it's going to be even more because the new TV contract will be in effect. So, I mean, you do something like that. Look at these guys. Well, I don't need to get into that. That's old news. But it's amazing what it causes some people to do. Okay? They give up their families, a lot of them, because of the consequences of taking these PEDs and other drugs. They make a lot of money, but then they get into other stupid things. Dykstra said that he used to be, they had a code word. I think it was Keith Richards or Robert De Niro. They would, you know, they would say, hey, is De Niro in the house? Meaning, is anybody got any cocaine? Mm-hmm. You know, so he said you couldn't really walk out to the batting cage and ask anybody if they had any coke. It leads to a lot of other things. Affluence leads to other things. And for most of these guys, they get these millions of dollars because of their athletic prowess. They're coming from nothing. They don't know how to handle all that. So they end up broke because they get money, they just spend it. And it's pretty sad, but, you know, for me, that's on them. That's on them. Let's get back to baseball, though. The All-Star break's coming up. I can remember watching, you know, my dad, I've said this before on the air, my dad wasn't really a sports fan, but he liked the World Series, and he would watch the All-Star game. And I've seen a lot of star-studded All-Star games in my time from watching during the 70s. I loved the Big Red Machine with Rose. I'm trying to remember all these names. I can't remember any pitchers from the Reds, but I remember Rose, Bench, George Foster, Cesar, Geronimo, Tony Perez.
And you had Griffey in there too, right?
Well, yeah, King Griffey Sr. Mm-hmm. And, wow. That's all I can remember at this time. But anyway, remember all those guys, and a lot of those guys were making all-star appearances. So you saw good players. And like you said, I think interleague play has diluted that a bit. Interleague play was a good idea when they did it to save baseball after the strike. I don't like the winner of the all-star game gets home field advantage. I don't like that. I think interleague play has run its course. I think they also probably should have fewer games. I mean, 182 games is, you know, while for the fan it's a lot, and you'll never see it go away because each game brings in money. But I wish they would reduce it, even if it's by, you know, 50 games or something. Having to play every day for stretches is hard on a catcher, hard on a lot of people. But anyway, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars, so I don't feel real sorry for them. I just think the quality of play could be improved. And if interleague play were to go away, I think the All-Star game would gain more importance. And you know, I think that right now, yes, you could say there's tons of fans there, but the fans are there for all the other stuff, the home run derby, the skills, all the fanfare that's going on, and then they go to the game. You know, I don't want to see the Major League Baseball All-Star Game go the way of the NFL Pro Bowl.
Right. Basically, it, you know, with NFL, it's almost, you know, they're doing it for bonuses. You know, they're doing it for financial reasons more so than the passion of the game. And talking about the All-Star Game, you know, it's just, you know, I don't have the information on the ratings for the All-Star Games, but I would imagine over the past 10 to 15 years, I doubt it's really spiked. You know, just because, like we mentioned, the interleague play's kind of taken away the mystique and kind of the mystery and the magic of the All-Star game. And yeah, you brought up the idea, you know, of shortening the season. One idea that I heard was really good is, you know, have the same number of games, but, you know, take away maybe 8 games from the regular season and add those into the postseason. You know, maybe instead of having that one game play-in for the wild card, make it a best of 3. you know, and then maybe make the divisional round a best of seven, and then make the championship series best of seven. So maybe instead of having all 182 regular season games, maybe have 170, and then add those extra 12 games into the postseason. It's more revenue for the networks because it's playoff baseball. So maybe just instead of taking away games, maybe just reshift which games are when.
You know, that's not a bad idea. I haven't heard anybody bring that up. But, yeah, don't take away games. Just move them.
Exactly.
Okay. So let me know when you and the commissioner have that conversation. And we'll, you know, I'll support you 100%. But because I think they do need fewer regular season games. Let's go ahead and grab another break before we go to our What's Up segment. Again, thank you to all of our broadcast partners. Give us a call on the Car King hotline or the Pulpwood Producers text line, 888-993-7762, or hit us up on the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed at TSports977FM. You're listening to Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports here on ESPN 97.7 FM. It's just you and me today, and I'm B. Byron Avery, your host. Of course, I'm joined in the studio by guest co-host Josh Tolleson of the 318 Now podcast. Josh, I just got a message from a reliable source that says there may be a Scottie Pippen sighting at Calvert Crossing Golf Course today.
Wow, Scottie Pippen in the house, huh?
Absolutely. Don't know for sure, but I trust the source, and, you know, we'll see. So Scottie Pippen supposedly going to be at Calvert Crossing today. More news on celebrity sightings. Two Dudes Catering. They're going to be at the downtown River Market on the Ouachita River over in Monroe from 1 o'clock until. Two Dudes Catering and their barbecue, they are celebrity worthy.
They are two great dudes.
Two great dudes. It's time now for our segment we like to call What's Up. It's our Where Are They Now? We're getting to this star a little early, and but we want to make sure and catch her before tomorrow. Want to welcome to the program West Monroe High School graduate and current LSU track star, Becca Wales. Welcome to the program, Becca.
Hey.
Glad to have you on. Now, I've known Becca since she was in elementary school, and she was like 6'4" then. No, I'm kidding. But no, I've known Becca a while. I know she's a quality person. Tell us a little bit, Becca, about your time at West Monroe. I know you played basketball as well as track and field. Tell us how you decided to stick with track, or rather field, and what led you to the javelin.
Well, I did javelin in middle school, but I never really, you know, that wasn't like my main thing. I liked softball, basketball, and track was just something in between. And so I wasn't going to do it in high school. And so I was just going to do basketball and softball. Well, the way that high school track works, you have, like, your regular season, and then you have your district meet, regional meet, and then your state meet. Well, the head coach of the track team came to me the day before the district meet and was like, hey, I heard that you threw jab in middle school, and I heard that you were like, okay, I was wondering if you could come out and, you know, try to throw, see if you could come to the meet tomorrow and throw for us for, like, some points. So I was like, oh, man, all right. I had to talk to my softball coach to make sure it was okay. And so I went out there that same day, and I practiced with Coach Ware. And he was like, oh, yeah, you need to come out. And so I was like, okay. And then I ended up winning district that year, and then I won regionals, and then I got third in state. That was my freshman year, and ever since then, it just stuck. I didn't really think anything about it, but I mean, I didn't know anything about javelin, really.
Well, how was your development in high school? I mean, did you just throw the way you knew? Did you learn new techniques? What kind of help did you get? Tell us a little bit about your progression in high school at West Monroe.
Well, I went up 10 feet from my freshman to sophomore, 10 feet from sophomore to junior, and then I don't remember my progression from junior to senior. It was close. It wasn't quite 10, I don't think. But I guess just getting stronger and just my coach, he helped me as much as he can. I mean, javelin is a very technical sport. And so I guess he would try to help me and try to get me technically better. But I think I just got stronger and just more developed than I was as a freshman.
And so then you start winning more district titles, more state titles, more regional titles, correct?
Yeah, I got third, and then second, and then first in state. That's how that went. Freshman to your year.
And then so for a young lady who goes to West Monroe High School thinking of playing basketball and softball, all of a sudden you're starting to get interest from schools in track and field. What other schools besides LSU gave you some opportunities?
Well, I got letters from all over the place, but UNO's coach had contacted me. Louisiana Tech coach had contacted me, but he ended up leaving. And then the ULM coach had contacted me, but not until after I'd already committed to LSU, so... But, and a few other, like Troy, but LSU is really the main one.
Okay. Well, you couldn't pick a much better school to go to as far as their track and field history. So tell me what it's like to have been there now for two seasons. I'm sure you get a lot more help than you were able to get at the high school level, of, you know, understandably so, but... What's the journey been like at Tech? Because I know you were, at LSU, because I know you were a freshman All-American, all that. You've gotten a lot of recognition so far. So tell us about your time so far at LSU and how that's helped you develop.
It's been a very good time. I'm very happy that I chose LSU, and everybody there is just so willing to help you with, all the way from academics to athletics. And the coach, and he works around the schedule, and he helps you. We watch a lot of film to try to get technically better, and that's just how you get better. You just have to get technically better.
And I'm sure these first two years have kind of flown by because you've been extremely busy in track and field, but you stop right now and you take a look backwards. You were just in high school, and now you're 2 years already into your college education and college career. How does that feel?
It's crazy. It flew by for sure. I was in high school, and you look at these people in college, and you're just like, man, like, they're so old, and they're so good, and then you're there, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah, and there are a lot of young ladies now looking up to you. I know you've got a busy day tomorrow, and I appreciate you taking the time, but tell us, I know you're headed out to Oregon for the Olympic trials tomorrow. You were there last year. You were in the trials last year as well, right?
It's technically called the USA Championship since it's not an Olympic year, but it's basically the same meet.
Right. And so how did you fare last year?
I didn't make finals, but it was a really good experience throwing against, best in the country. All age group, and it just shows you where you need to get to, and it gives you just great experience. Period. Helps the nerves.
What's your ranking right now?
I don't know going into this meet because I'm not sure who all has declared going, so I'm not 100%. I'm just hoping that. Last year I didn't make finals, and so this year I just want to make finals.
Okay.
Just progress every year, just get better.
So tell me about you were there last year. Of course, it wasn't the Olympic trials, and because there weren't an Olympics last year, but it's the same meet as you said. Obviously, the outcomes have a little bit more meaning because it could mean you go being on the Olympic team. Take us through those several days. And how intense and busy it is.
it's just, it's crazy. Like, my your nerves just get to you, and you never know what can happen. Like, I know they're going on right now, and there's a guy that was supposed to win that hurt his hamstring. You really just never know what's going to happen. So you always have to be ready and on your best performance, and anything can happen.
All right, will your LSU coaches be there with you?
Yes, they will.
Okay, good.
We have a few other LSU athletes going with us.
Right, right. Well, and I'm sure there'll be at least a small contingent of family members from West Monroe that might make the trip. Is that correct?
Yeah, my dad's coming.
I can't imagine Andy not being there. But Becca, I'm going to tell you, I really appreciate you coming on today. I know you've got a busy weekend. Big day starting tomorrow. Big time out there. We want to wish you the best of luck. And hopefully we'll be rooting for you in Rio.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, you go get them. And thanks again. Have a great weekend, Becca.
All right. You too.
All right. Well, Josh, that's a good story right there. Coming from West Monroe High School, was asked to throw the javelin in high school as a freshman because they heard she had done it in middle school and they just needed to try and get a few points. From that, being All-State in the javelin and being an LSU athlete, All-American, and now trying to participate for the United States of America in the Rio Olympics.
Well, I have no doubt that such a great local talent will actually, I think she'll excel. I think she'll do great. And it sounds like she has great support at LSU, you know, the West Monroe roots. I think she's going to do wonderful, and we'll all keep our fingers crossed on this July 4th weekend that she'll do great, and we'll be rooting her on in the Olympics.
I'm going to tell you what, her dad, I know her dad and her stepmom and brothers and all that kind of stuff, and they're a good family, okay? And Becca is well rooted in with a solid foundation. And we were texting each other, and I told her this was going to be casual and relaxed chat, and I'd kind of lead her through it. I told her, but she needed to get used to this. She's got a lot more of these interviews coming up in her future. But we're going to take a break again. When we come back, we'll talk with Sean Williams of ProFootballSpot.com and Who Dat Nation Redemption. You're listening to Talkin' Sports, ESPN, 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program. Talking sports here on ESPN 97.7 FM. It's just you and me, and I'm B. Got it by myself today, except for the fact that I have guest co-host Josh Tolleson in here with me.
This is great, man. Time's flying by. It's already 1:30. I mean, I guess time does fly when you have fun.
Absolutely. Our next guest has been somewhat of a regular on the program. He's been on several times, has co-hosted with me before. Sean Williams of Who Dat Nation Redemption and ProFootballSpot.com. He's the NFC West coordinator, I believe. I know it's not the NFC South because that's where the Saints are. So, Sean, welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for having me.
So, tell us, you've had two more in your series of Legends of the Fall since we last talked. You did, your latest one is Michael Lewis, the Beer Man, and the older player, all of a sudden I can't remember his name. Was it
Henry Childs?
Childs, Henry Childs, yes. I started to say Giles, but tell us a little bit about those and where people can find those.
Okay, the place you find them is on ProFootballSpot.com in the New Orleans Saints group. Well, I began doing this series a year ago during the dead time between the NFL draft and the opening of training camp, just as a way to kind of keep the interest up, so to speak. And it's turned out very well and been a very successful in terms of views and the feedback that I've gotten from it. It's been very well received. It goes and discusses the past Saints players and legends, and to a lot of people, so I've heard, to a lot of people, it brings to light players that they weren't really aware of from back in the day, such as the one you mentioned a moment ago about Henry Childs, a guy that was a tight end with Archie Manning, and he certainly made a mark on this team, and was the first Saints tight end to make a mark on the league. I mean, he led the league 1 year and receiving. But, you know, stuff like that. And this week it was the beer man, Michael Lewis. And next week it'll be safety, the Sammy Knight will be the next one in the series.
So no news yet on when my requested Russell Erksleben article will come out?
Not so much, no.
Well, he did make the list of 50 worst players in Saints history.
I would venture to say he probably was pretty high on that list, too, wasn't he?
Well, number one is a person that I'm proud to say I predicted he would make the number one spot, and that was Heath Shuler. I had an NFL scout standing next to me on a football field tell me that he might be the dumbest player he's ever met. And of course now he's a congressman, so that makes a lot of sense.
He's a congressman or senator, so that kind of solidifies the point that he made, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Of course, I did have one pro football scout also ask me if Myron Smith and Myron Baker were related. And I didn't have the heart to tell him it would be if the last names were the same, they might be related, not the first names. But I think this guy had played back during the leather helmet days.
Yeah, that sounds like it very easily may be the case.
I will share this story, though. One of the most personable scouts I ever met was Hoki Gaijon. He was on the field, and I got to talk with him and visit with him and tell him how much I had enjoyed watching him play, and he was there scouting for the Saints. And, of course, he had that tobacco in his mouth. And that was never far from him, but he's a guy that's missed, and I know you did an article on him as well. So,
yes,
John, go ahead.
The week before Henry Childs, as a matter of fact, there was, if you pull up one of the Legends of the Fall series, they have links at the bottom of the article to go to all of the others that have been done in the series as well.
So I'm looking at the Michael Lewis article now, and I see those links where it says Sean Williams is a featured analyst for ProFootballSpot.com, along with covering the New Orleans Saints. He is also the NFC West Division coordinator and an editor.
Yeah, worked a long time for that. Took 2 years, brother.
Well, and I also see a picture of you in the beer man.
Yeah, I've been waiting to do one on a player that I've actually gotten to meet, and I was fortunate enough prior to the Atlanta Falcons game 2 years ago in 2014, he was in the Hall of Fame prior to the game, and I got to meet him and talk with him. He even let me touch the ring. I asked him if it would be possible for me to take a picture wearing the ring, and he just looked at me. He didn't respond, so I left that one alone. But you were talking about Hoki Gaijon.
Yes.
When I played back in the early 80s, that was along about the same time during which he played, and that was my hero, man. I loved Hoki Gaijon. And I would have loved to have been able to have the opportunity to get to meet the guy, but I never did. That's one of the regrets that I have, is that I wasn't able to meet him before he passed.
And like I said, I met him, was able to talk with him for about 20 minutes and talked about some old stories, and very personable guy, very nice guy, and I know he loved his Saints and his Tigers. You know,
yeah.
I was at a wedding Actually did the sound for the wedding, did the recording, lights, all that kind of stuff. And one of the attendees, I saw him wearing this ring. He was a big dude. And he had on an old AFL championship ring before the merger, from before the merger. And I was able to put the ring on, took a picture of my hand with it on, but I don't have that picture anymore. It's been several years ago. But there's a lot of people you can come in contact with that have had a lot of athletic success, and you may never know it around this part.
Yeah, and see, one of the great things about this series that I'm doing, the Legends of the Fall, there's a lot of players, which there's one coming up, I'm not going to give it away, but in terms of their position or their mark that they made on the playing field, they may have been like a nominally talented special teams player, but I go deeper than that, and it's a lot of it has to do with the contribution that they made to the Saints organization, to the state, to the community, and things like that. And, you know, although it may be about professional football, the mark that they leave is that a lot of times the mark that they leave is bigger than the sport that they played. And I think that that's noteworthy, and that deserves to be brought to light.
Absolutely. And you're doing a great job with the series, with everything you do
for
footballspot.com, and with Saints Nation Redemption. I know that we're going to have you back on in a couple of weeks for a big announcement. We'll save that. We'll just tease that now, but we'll save that for, I believe,
hopefully
the
20th. Next Saturday, I'm going to have some big news for you guys.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that, and we'll get you on here. But for now, remind everyone how they can keep up with all you have going on.
Okay. On Twitter, I'm at DrewsDad3721. On, as you said, on Facebook, Houdat Nation Redemption. And on ProFootballSpot.com, on the forums, I try to be as active as I can. And ProFootballSpot covers all 32 teams in the league, up to and including our New Orleans Saints. And we try to discuss all things about all teams.
All right, sounds good, Sean. Thanks for joining us. Have a happy 4th of July weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Same to you, Byron. You guys have a great weekend. Hope that it's everything you need it to be.
All right, brother. All right, you're listening to Talkin' Sports. We're going to take another break. We're on ESPN 97.7 FM. Wow, I don't know if that's a remix or what, but I need that. You have to send me a link to that, Mr. Tabor. One of my favorite concerts, probably the most favorite concert I've ever been to, was Eddie Money opening for Heart at Fant Ewing Coliseum in roughly 83, 84, something like that. $3.
Wow.
$3 to see Heart and Eddie Money.
$3 to see the money, huh?
Yep. I'm telling you. And he was good, and Heart was awesome. But I can't believe I did that for $3. Actually, I didn't even pay the $3 because the buddy of mine that was a student at the time bought the tickets, and he owed me money, so I told him I wasn't paying it. So. Anyway, back to your wheelhouse, and which is going to be Major League Baseball, and doing this for you and John Tabor. Let's talk a little Cubbies. We've had a rough stretch here. Not only on the baseball field, but we lost Derrick Rose, and Joakim Noah is now also going to be a New York Knick. So what's going on in Chicago?
Well, first, you know, we'll go, you know, with the Bulls. You know, with Noah, we saw, you know, of course, he signed his deal. Derrick Rose is now going to the Big Apple, going to New York. And what's interesting was he thanked the Bulls for that trade, which it makes you wonder if there was some bad blood.
Well, absolutely. You know, the locker room had become torn between him and Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
The younger guys thought it was Jimmy Butler's team, and the older guys, like Noah, knew it was Derrick Rose's team. They thought of it as Rose's team. And so there was a, you know, with all the injuries that Rose has sustained over the years, Butler's come in, and it's become his team. And so now he's got to put up or shut up.
Right.
Because there's no doubt now that he's the man in Chicago. They've gotten rid of Rose. Noah's out. Of course, Noah's a free agent. And, you know, but the two of the biggest leaders on that team are gone. So it's Butler's turn.
Right. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see Rose, how he handles New York. You know, because, you know, you're going from one dynamic to another. You know, going to Phil Jackson. You're going to, you know, quite a different. I mean, I know Chicago is obviously a big market, but going to New York, you know, with the players they have there, Carmelo being there, it'd be interesting to see that dynamic as well. Because you know the backstory of Melo, and when he's had, you know, great players play alongside him, you've seen some of the conflict that's been there. So it'll be curious to see how Rose and see how they coexist, I guess you could say.
Well, and I think with Rose going along with Noah, that's going to help Rose.
Right.
Because Rose is no wallflower. You know, he's no fading petunia. He'll be sticking it out there and mixing it up, and he'll be on the floor. He'll be a leader, and Melo will respect that, I believe. I think he'll respect Rose and Noah coming in there, and we'll see who else joins the Knicks, because I don't think they're done. They want to get back to at least respectability and then keep inching toward championship contention.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I know they've had a bumpy few seasons, but any organization that has Phil Jackson in it, I mean, with his pedigree, we all know his accolades, you could never write off any organization that has the talent and the knowledge, and, of course, having Phil Jackson. I would not rule out the Knicks in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, they've been easy to write off the last couple of years, and Phil's been kind of the butt of several jokes with his hires at coach, you know, who haven't turned out. But let's go now to the Cubs. What's been happening in Cubbyland?
Well, it's kind of been a roller coaster the past 10 days. You know, of course, they had a rough stretch down in Miami, which I'm sure if many of us went to Miami for an extended period, we'd probably have a hard time performing at the job as well. But yeah, they lost 3 of 4 in Miami, but then the schedule eased up a little bit, and they were able to sweep the lowly Cincinnati Reds. Of course, you know that, you know, during that series there was the Chris Bryant game where he hit 3 home runs and 2 doubles. In the same game, which had not been done, and I believe over half of a century, or it's been an extended period since that happened.
And I know that John Tabor sent out a tweet about it, saying he is a man, right, Mr. Tabor? You were very tuned into that game.
I mean, it. What can you say? Two of those 3 homers were well over 400 feet, you know, upper deck shots. And to say he was seeing the ball well that night would be an understatement.
Well, and John Tabor also tweeted out a little doubt and fear about the Cubs' bullpen.
Well, it needs to be addressed, especially left-handed pitching.
Yeah, and, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about, you know, them looking at the Yankees' bullpen for some help. You know, of course, Aroldis Chapman and Andrew Miller are some names that are being thrown out there, but apparently the Yankees they're wanting a lot of return. And when I say a lot, it sounds like they want some Kyle Schwarber in their life. And I'm not real sure if, you know, I know adding Chapman or Miller to the bullpen would definitely bolster the Cubs' chances of winning a World Series, but I don't know. I think Schwarber may be too high of a price tag for the Cubs to pay. What do you think, John?
I agree. Miller would be the one by themselves that would make me listen, but because I think he has more long-term versatility as a pitcher. You know, he can go long, he can go short. They maybe could even convert him into a starter down the road. Whereas Chapman, you pretty much know what you're going to get one inning of a 105-mile-an-hour fastball, as it is what it is. on the flip side, you've got Schwarber, who, while is inactive this year for his ACL, I mean, he's probably got the most pop in the bat of anybody on the team. You know, where are you going to put him in the field? I don't think he's the long-term answer behind the plate. It's probably going to be Contreras. So it becomes a decision. Do you want a guy who is a power-hitting but subpar fielding, you know, left-handed bat for a National League team, or do you want to go and shore up that relief? If there was some way they could get both of them, then I'd jump on board, but I don't believe that's going to happen. I think the Yankees are in a sell mode, so they're probably willing to deal. But I personally, man, I don't want to see Schwarber leave.
Well, so you don't think that Aroldis Chapman, a man who was ticketed for speeding at a speed less than the speed of his fastball the same night, who threw six pitches, averaged 101.9 miles an hour, and was ticketed for speeding at a rate less than that. You don't see him by himself as an answer?
Not for that price tag.
Okay. And again, I can see that. I mean, you know, again, he's not going to be a 2 or 3 inning pitcher, not very often anyway. And is that kind of price tag worth bringing somebody out just to throw those six pitches? You know, if things get closer, maybe. You know, if you're in a World Series, is he worth it then? Who knows? But he's always somebody you have to be, you know, when somebody says he's tradable, you have to at least think about it.
Yeah, and, you know, prior to this whole scenario, you know, as a baseball fan, I've never been a big fan of the DH in the National League. But if the Cubs were to use the DH, Kyle Schwarber would be the perfect designated hitter for our lineup.
Well, you know, and John said he has a lot of pop in his bat, probably the most, and that's saying a lot with Chris Bryant sitting there. You know, and we're probably getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. You know, it's not that I'm superstitious. I just don't tempt fate. So I don't talk about the score till the game's over, all that type of stuff. I'll talk trash if I'm playing ball, but never about winning unless I'm actually winning. You know, when somebody talks smack to me and I'm winning, I just point to the scoreboard, you know, let that do. And I've always told kids, you can't win a ball game with your mouth. So, you know, let's cut all that stuff out. When I'm in a good friendly game of, you know, 3-on-3 or golf or whatever, I'm the first one to start the smack talk, and because it's fun among friends and all that.
Yeah, it's like they say, don't tell me what you're going to do, tell me what you did.
Right, exactly. But the Cubbies have seemed to have righted the ship. They no longer have the best record in baseball. That belongs to an American League team called the
Texas Rangers.
Yeah. Well, let me give you this stat. Since June 17th, the Cleveland scoreboard reads, Cavaliers, 1 NBA championship. Indians, 14-0.
Wow. Hottest team in baseball for sure.
So you think they may have been feeding off the energy of the Cavaliers championship?
Well, I don't know if you heard this story. I think that's a huge factor, but I don't know. Are you a fan of the movie Major League?
Oh, yes.
Well, apparently the Indians have gone the way of Pedro, and they actually have a doll that they keep in their locker room, and they're having that. They actually attribute much of their success to the Major League doll that Pedro kept.
Jobu.
Maybe Jobu is to explain for all the success.
Well, I'm more of a fan of the guy who was the older pitcher who had to put all the stuff on the baseball that he could when he took a drink from the locker and said, up yours, Jobu.
The Gaylord Perry?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm more of an up yours, Jobu. But for whatever reason, whether it's a combination of Believe Land, some great baseball, and then the combination adding that with the Cleveland Cavaliers championship, the Indians are on a roll, 14-0, and they're making believers out of a lot of people. I don't know if you've heard me say this before, Josh, but I think the timing, you had the NFL draft, the 30-for-30 Believe Land, and the Cavaliers championship. I'm actually looking forward to watching the Browns play football this year to see what happens. I don't see them winning in the playoffs, going to a Super Bowl, anything like that. But I think that if it's going to happen, because I've said, you know, I'm not a huge RG3 fan, but he's a capable quarterback. If the game's the entire game's not on his shoulders, he's a very serviceable quarterback. I think they did some to build around him this year. And I'm just looking forward to seeing the Cleveland Browns season and how it unfolds.
Well, if there's a comeback player of the year in the making, you know, all health concerns aside, I think RG3 is a great candidate for that. You know, we may be looking back 6 months from now, but thinking, well, maybe we're wrong, but you know, maybe there is something to this, you know, this Cleveland run that's going on.
Well, it's always good. I'm a sports fan, so I like when history is made. I may not be, the Patriots, for example, when they had a chance to finish the season undefeated, I was rooting. I was torn. I wanted the Giants to win because I'm a Manning fan, not necessarily an Eli and Peyton fan, but I'm an Archie fan, so the Manning boys, I'm rooting for them. I'm not a huge fan of the Patriots, although they get the job done. They, you know, heck with Spygate and Deflategate, couldn't care less. But if they had done it, I would have been able to say, you know, I got to see history made. So that's cool, you know, for me. So if Cleveland does something big, you know, I'm going to be happy that I got to see it. I'm not necessarily rooting for them, but I'm at least going to be interested in their season this year, and I think that is pretty widespread.
Right. Just as a sports fan in general, it's great to see, you know, the Cubs potentially making a World Series. I know I'm a Cub fan, but as a sports fan, that's the ultimate history-making. You know, Cubs win the World Series, and I think the Indians would be a great, you know, great counterpart to that. You know, and I love, you know, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, but as a sports fan, I love that the Cavaliers won, just for the city of Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, I was a big Brian Sipe fan back in the days, the old quarterback. He did a lot with a little, and I was a big Bernie Kosar fan. Just loved the fact that he was the most non-athletic quarterback I'd ever seen. But he could get away from people, and he had that little sidearm pass. And, you know, it just, again, I think a lot of people are actually going to be able to say they are interested in the Browns this year. So, well, that's going to wrap up our show for this week. We're going to come back to you next week right here from the Coldwell Banker Group 1 Realty Studios. I want to again thank our broadcast partners, Greg Phillips State Farm Insurance, Gina Eubanks Allstate Insurance, in Ruston and Minden. Gina Eubanks, agency owner since 1995. Our hotline and text line partners, Car King and Pulpwood Producers. Our Twitter feed partner, Glassworks of West Monroe, DBAT of Monroe for all your baseball and training needs, dbatmonroe.com. Jeremy Hilton, Shield of Shelter Insurance, Riverport Creative Group, and the Assurance Financial Group, Assurance Financial Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/talkingsports977FM. And we couldn't do any of it without the man, John Tabor, on the ones and twos. Josh, thank you for joining us. Had a blast today. Look forward to having you back on, talking a little Cubs, a little Major League Baseball. We'll definitely have you on around the All-Star break. But just as a reminder, July 9th, nude right here in honor of ESPN The Body Issue. Join us next week. Talking Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the best of Talking Sports with Byron. To listen to the show live, tune in every Saturday to ESPN977.com or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at redpeachsports.com.